Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go to our callers in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, as just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. When I was walking into the studio, one of my ministry associates handed me a testimony, and it was very, very encouraging. It just came in today from Jason. Not only encouraging, but very well written. He says, Hank, my family just received our copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. What a tremendous book. We can't put it down. Kudos, especially to Thomas Nelson Publishers on creating an heirloom edition that we look forward to giving away as gifts to friends, family, and strangers in need. This is the first, I love this, this is the first paper book I've purchased since the first iPad became available. And I forgot how wonderful it can be to hold a leather-bound treasure in your hands. What a great testimony. And I mention this because, of course, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available all this month for your support of the ministry. And for those who join the CRI monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org/donate. Also wanted to report back to you. I've been saying all month we're trying to set a record in terms of numbers of people joining the CRI monthly support team. And right now we're at, this is a cool number, 111 people have joined this month the CRI support team, and we'd love to have you join the group as well. When you give electronically, it saves time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, or an EFT. But whatever you do, please be generous. This is a ministry that reaches around the world as a direct result of people just like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Got a lot of people hanging on, so I'm going to go right to the phone calls. As mentioned, Dale first in Jacksonville, Georgia, NRB Television. Hi, Dale.
Hey.
Nice
Are
to
you
have,
there?
Yeah, nice to have you on the air.
I had a question for you about Matthew 19.
Uh-huh.
Verse 3 through 12. Are you familiar with the verses? Or do I need to
Well, I'm familiar with the passage. It's the passage on divorce and remarriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At the end, he tells them about eunuchs.
Uh-huh.
The last verse, verse 12, is about eunuchs.
Yeah.
How does that tie in with the rest of the discourse is what I was wondering.
Yeah. Again, this is a passage on divorce and marriage. And what Jesus is doing is giving an example, because the disciples say, this is really a hard teaching. Jesus is telling them that they shouldn't divorce, and the reason Moses gave a certificate of divorce was because of the hardness of their hearts. And it is a tough saying, and he's saying, this is maybe so hard for you, it's probably better for you not to get married if it's too hard for you. And then he gives an analogy. He says, if you can't accept this, then maybe you should be a eunuch. Of course, he's talking about being a eunuch in a figurative sense. He's talking about those who freely choose lifelong celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. So a consecrated virginity is not confused with self-mutilation. And he gives some examples of people who are either forced to become eunuchs, in other words, they're mutilated, or they castrate themselves, they mutilate themselves. This is not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, those who freely give up the pleasures and the responsibilities of marriage for the sake of the kingdom.
Okay.
Get it?
I believe so.
Cool. Hey, nice talking to you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Peter in Louisiana. Hi, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Doing.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was calling you about it's this pastor down here, and he was teaching on tongues, and he was saying a lot of strange stuff, and he was doing a lot of Bible hopping. For instance, he would read, he would go to First Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and he would read only like the first three verses, and then he would expound on that when a person speaks in tongues, they're edifying their spirit.
Well, Peter, you're a wise man. You're a wise man because what you're looking at is context here. And I think context is very, very important. What Paul is doing in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is he's contrasting speaking in tongues with prophecy. And what he's saying is he'd rather speak a few intelligible words, in other words, words that people can understand, than a whole lot of words in tongues that people cannot understand. Paul, of course, spoke different languages, and what he's saying in context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is that if someone doesn't understand what you're saying, it should be interpreted, and then it will be the same as prophecy in the sense that it will serve to edify, strengthen, and encourage the body of Christ. But not everyone has to speak in tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul asks a rhetorical question. In fact, a whole bunch of rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? And then he says, do all speak in tongues? And of course, the answer to the rhetorical question is no. And then Paul goes on to say that we ought to desire the greater gifts. And the greatest of those gifts comes next in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, sandwiched between 12 and 14. Sorry I had to let you go there, Peter. The connection was pretty bad. Humberto in Los Angeles, California, KKLA next. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to get a KKLA listener calling in,
absolutely,
even though it's not live.
I listen to you. I discovered your radio station through one of my friends who is a Messianic Jew, and I discovered your ministry, and I got your book on the afterlife. It was a great, great, great book, brought a lot of light into a lot of answered questions that my denomination does not believe in a literal hell. Or they believe in what you call annihilation. Was that the word?
Yeah, annihilationism, which is a really bad idea.
That's what I understood from you, and I believe and I agree with you on that point. And so that's why I'm not necessarily too fond about what they believe. But my question is more dealing with the alcohol. I've been getting a lot of different opinions from different ministries, from different religions, about... especially with the Christian church, alcoholism is a gateway to other drugs, and as being brought up in the Catholic faith, I was an altar boy, and we discovered the wine real quick, brother. And so we really had a good time back then. I said, I'll let me and a couple of my friends, and they want to go.
I shouldn't be laughing. It's kind of sad.
And but my thing is that people say that it's okay for Christians to drink, and then it's not okay for Christians to drink beverages, fermented beverages, liquor, wine, alcohol, whatever, any type of alcohol. And then the question they lead you to that Jesus turned the water into wine. It was fermented wine, and you know back then the Jewish wedding lasted for. At least a couple of weeks, and so was he going to have a bunch of drunk Jews running all over the place, you know, or on the floor, you know, knocked out, blacked out. So I don't know. What's your stand on fermented or unfermented liquor?
Yeah.
Or that Christians should, if they have a problem with alcohol, I'm 4 years sobriety, 4 years sober. So I thank God, by the grace of God, I'm sober.
Yeah.
And only by the grace of God, and of course through my work, I have to work work the program as well.
Sure.
So, but what is your opinion on Christians drinking fermented beverages?
Sure. Well, I think you said a lot of good things. Alcohol is a real problem in our culture, and therefore, I think you've put your finger on the fact that it becomes a huge problem for people that have an appetite for it, and can be a gateway to other substance abuse. But here's the deal biblically. The deal biblically in Proverbs chapter 23 is the equation of gluttony and wine bibbing, which is to say, Solomon points out that you shouldn't drink too much wine and you shouldn't gorge yourself on meat. And then he says, drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. So he's equating being a drunkard and a wine bibber, one who eats too much and one who drinks too much. And the point here for Solomon is not that there's something wrong with wine in and of itself or food in and of itself. The point here is that you shouldn't partake of too much food and get fat and therefore compromise the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you shouldn't drink too much wine because it can affect you both in a physical and a metaphysical way. So it doesn't prohibit drinking wine, but it does say that you shouldn't drink wine in excess. And what that means is you should never drink wine such that you, as you mentioned in the prologue to the question, go into an altered state of consciousness. The other verses that are interesting in this regard, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that says, neither thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. In other words, people who are constantly abusing their body, being dishonest, reviling truth, people that don't care about the principles and precepts of the kingdom. So wine can be a blessing, but it can also be misused, leading to drunkenness or worse. Appreciate your call. Go back to the phone lines, talk to Keith in Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Hank. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Say, thanks for taking my call. Also, I am a longtime listener, and I am continuing to pray for you and your ministry. You have helped me out a whole lot.
Bless you. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, Hank, help me out real quick. I was trying to teach my wife and kids about where it says in the Bible that when Jesus said, I tell you who to fear him who could cast your whole body, soul, and spirit into hell fire. And the question was, does hell actually mean that people or souls are actually burning for eternity? From what I studied, my friend, the hellfire was torment, and the gnashing of teeth was, I guess, the gritting of teeth, and the hellfire was more figurative. Am I right? Can you help me out?
Well,
I want to teach them. I want to teach them right, because I don't think God has a twisted, tormented mind to where someone would just be burning, you know, burning actually forever.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you're absolutely right to say that this is metaphorical. Precisely, that is the case. The torment of hell is compared to a number of different things. It is compared to blackest darkness forever. It is compared to burning sulfur. But the idea is not that these are literal flames. Flames is used over and over again in the Bible in a metaphorical sense. So there's no sense whatsoever to take it wooden literalistically. So often the Bible talks about flames of fire in a metaphorical sense. And so when it talks about hell in this sense, it's, you know, for example, the human tongue, James says, is being set on fire by hell. He says that the tongue is a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. This obviously doesn't mean that the course of his life is literally burning. We understand the metaphor. James obviously is using the metaphor in a sense that is understandable, and it applies as well to hell. I mean, there are many other examples that could be given. Fire is described, is used to describe godly jealousy, sexual lust, unbridled passion. A lot of other examples. In fact, I wrote about this in an entry, if I can find it here, in Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. It's under an entry that says, are the flames of hell real? And again, that's an entry in the book Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial. And in the meantime, you can find the resources that I've mentioned on the web at equip.org. Back with more answers in just a bit.
Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. In his article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, David Wood shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, Reason, Truth, Faith, and Literary Imagination, Literature as Apologetics, Humanity Crucified, Hemingway, and the Human Condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. www.cri.org. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Sophia, listening in California. Hi, Sophia.
Hey, how are you? God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, I had a question regarding a very close family member, they profess to be a Christian and that they're following Jesus, and I'm a Christian myself, and But they're so far off, you know, when it comes to the Bible. But they read the Bible every day. They, you know, speak the name of Jesus every day. But when we get into a discussion about Jesus, it's completely off, like from his word. And for instance, I was having a discussion yesterday regarding hearing the voice of God. It says God led me to my $20 that I lost, and I said, you know, I heard that. You know, the Holy Spirit tell me exactly where my $20 was. But to make a long story short, this person said, well, you know, when he speaks to you, you know, you just go ahead and I'm tired of people saying that you have to search the scriptures to know when God speaks to you. When God speaks to you, you just go ahead and do what he tells you to do. And I said, well, hold on a second, because, you know, Jesus, you know, warns us about listening to every voice that we hear. We have to search the scriptures to see whether or not it's God speaking. And they're like, oh, no, you don't have to read the Bible. Abraham didn't have the Bible, and he heard God's voice, and he went ahead and did what God told him to do.
Yeah, you're right. You know what we have to do is, Sophia, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. And the Bible is the final court of arbitration. So we have many different ways in which we can know about God. There's general revelation, just as there's special revelation, but only the Bible is an infallible test. And so we should know our Bibles. We should get into the Word of God, get the Word of God into us. And it is sad today that people are biblically illiterate. But be thankful that your family member is interested in the Word of God. You're interested in the Word of God, and because of that, you can have a conversation that reaches as opposed to repels. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Timothy in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on BART Radio. Hi, Timothy.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Over the weekend, I heard a rebroadcast, and it was a gentleman who kind of agreed with the socialist ideology and worldview and government. And I think I'd heard someone else call before, and it was kind of disturbing that there was two people that I heard call and was kind of agreeing with their worldview. You know, I was noticing, and you know, you mentioned that you grew up in Holland and everything. You've seen it firsthand, the fallout of that. And it occurred to me that, and I want you to tell me if you agree with this or not, that the main difference, I think, that in the socialist government and, say, our democratic republic is that the founders of this country finally woke up and understood and recognized the value of human beings, because we were created by God in his image, and therefore they gave us inherent value as individuals. And it seems to me that the socialist government, and I don't see any other type of government that does that. And could you comment on that?
Well, first of all, I think that you said a lot of wise things once again. They're fantastic. A couple of people today have made some very, very insightful comments, and you're right there with them. I think what's important, when I mentioned Holland, I did grow up in Holland. Holland was able to subsidize its inefficiencies for a long, long time. They have oil reserves in the North Sea, and so if you have extraneous money that can come in and subsidize your ineffectiveness, then you can get away with it. But you look at ineffective bureaucracies, and they're always detrimental to people at the lower levels of society. The money simply doesn't trickle down to them. And as I've said to other people, money is not omnipresent. It can't be two places at the same time. So if it's used for inefficient programs, then it can't be used for effective giving, where you're really helping a need in a direct and dynamic fashion. Everybody would love free things. Free college is something that appeals to everyone, and that's being touted now, and it has become hugely popular with the millennial set. But making all sorts of things free means more of those things being wasted as well. And it means putting more and more of the decisions that shape our lives into the hands of politicians and bureaucrats who control the purse strings. And I think Obamacare has given us a foretaste of what that means in real life. So I think what's important is that we have effective, efficient systems in place. And part of that comes with having a biblical worldview. Once you start living in the periphery of the Bible rather than the pages of the Bible, you start to get in trouble, because then you have to have corruption controlled by one layer of bureaucracy after another, and you have inefficiency and effectiveness. And you can look at what's happened over the last 10 years or so. I mean, we've gotten not only into trillions of dollars of debt, approaching now $20 trillion, but in addition to that, we have more and more people who are in bad situations, not being taken care of properly. This also limits our ability to do what we do in other parts of the world. For example, if you have ineffective programs and you're spending tens of trillions of dollars of the global economy on those ineffective programs, you can't take care of what's really needed. For example, for $200 billion, you can provide fresh water to places of the planet that don't have it right now. And you think about the needs of people, fresh water being one of them. The vast majority of people on Earth today live on less than $2 a day. And 80%, I think, is what the figure goes to, with $3 a day. I've heard these statistics. I have to confess, I haven't actually done the research to document those statistics, but I think they're generally correct. And so think about people that don't have fresh water and what we could be doing if we had effective rather than inefficient programs. So I appreciate your call, and I think the points that you've made are well taken. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Randy in St. John's, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Randy.
Hey. Hi, Hank. I don't know how to phrase this as a question other than I'll just make a statement, then I'll hang up and listen to you on the radio. But my father has been recently listening to a TV evangelist speaker, common one that's known, and he's big on this: as Christians, we need to support the country of Israel because that's God's people, and he stresses that so much that it's almost like heresy if we don't support the country of Israel, which I would support, but I just don't know, is there any biblical basis as Israel being God's people that he has something special for them and that we have to support that? I'm going to hang up now.
Sure. The answer to that question is no. There are a lot of reasons we can appreciate Israel. But God is not pro-Jew, he's pro-justice. And so where Israel treats people with injustice, if in fact it does, then we shouldn't support that, just as we shouldn't support injustice within the United States. So when there was slavery true Christians should not have been for slavery. They should have been trying to implement biblical worldview principles in order to overthrow slavery. So God's people are those who are the seed of Abraham. And here's what I mean by that. Abram had his name changed to Abraham, which meant a father of many nations through whom all the people of the world would be blessed. Well, think about what the Bible says in terms of the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham is actually called singular by Paul in Galatians chapter 3. He says Abraham only had one seed, not seeds plural, but seed singular. And he said that royal seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. And then he gives you a double entendre. He says, if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the problem. The point of all of that being that God's chosen people are not determined on the basis of gender. They're not determined on the basis of their stage in life, whether they're poor or rich, slave or free, male or female. They're not even determined on whether they're Jew or Greek. These aren't my words. These are the words of Paul. If you are in Christ, you are, again, the seed of Abraham, says Paul, and an heir according to the promise. So God has always had one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross and illustrated by the Apostle Paul by a cultivated olive tree. So it's not a matter of gender. It's not a matter of race. God's not a racist. He's not a land broker. It's a matter of relationship, to Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ. So again, if you are in Christ, you are chosen. And the Jerusalem that we serve, says Paul, is not the one that's below. He says, if you are worshiping that one, if you are enamored with that one, then you are in slavery. You're in bondage, he says. He says, the Jerusalem that is free is the Jerusalem that is above, and she is our mother. In fact, he uses an illustration of Hagar and Sarah, and he uses that illustration to point out, let's not be addicted to the Jerusalem below. Now, Jesus has come to fulfill all the types and shadows, and therefore, we shouldn't be in love with types and shadows. We should know about them, but we should be in love with the substance. That's why we don't sacrifice animals anymore. Temple, priest, and sacrifice have been fulfilled by the ultimate sacrificial lamb, a lamb without blemish. Of course, that lamb is Jesus Christ. We are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, as mentioned in the first segment, we are trying to set a record this month of people transitioning from being occasional givers to being monthly support team members. And when you do that, you turbocharge the ministry. It's not that we do not deeply appreciate occasional givers. I mean, we are thankful for those that are led by the Holy Spirit to give. But if you could make that transition to becoming a monthly support team member, it would just make such a difference in our outreaches around the world. And there are many. It's not just the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's not the Christian Research Journal. It's not the research that we do as an institute, but it is programs around the world making a difference for time and for eternity. Stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can do that by going to the web at equip.org/donate and joining our support team online in a safe, secure fashion. Again, equip.org/donate. And please do it this month. I'll personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member, or a friend. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
In his wildly popular books, The Harbinger and The Mystery of the Shemitah, Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn offers a mixture of homiletic biblical interpretations and obscure mathematical calculations to show a pattern of biblical prophecy fulfilled in America. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal explains why Cahn's interpretive scheme fails. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back right after this. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go back to the phone calls. Next up is Elwood listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Elwood. Hello, Elwood.
Hi, Hank. This is Elwood Jones. Sorry, I didn't have my speaker tone off quite quick enough.
Not a problem.
I have a double question here, but it's the same subject, basically.
Sure.
What's best to say when someone is under the impression that 144,000 only are going to be saved? What's the best way to explain that that's not accurate?
Well, there's a sense in which it's true. Which is to say that literally the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. So just as John is told about a lion and that he turns to see a lamb, so he was told about the 144,000 and he turned to see a great multitude. And so the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. It's the same entity, but it's seen from a different vantage point. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. In other words, the full complement of God's people is numbered. From the other standpoint, it is innumerable. This is one of those great passages which is talking about the completed bride of Christ. And the number 144,000, very significant in terms of how it's derived. 12 times 12 times 1,000 is the way it is derived. And it's the 12 apostles of the Lamb times the 12 tribes of Israel. And you see this by reading Scripture in light of Scripture, times 1,000, by the way. So the idea is the full complement of God's people. But the notion that, let's say, the Jehovah's Witnesses have, where the 144,000 are exactly 144,000 that are chosen as a heavenly class as opposed to an earthly class, that, of course, is misguided.
Okay, the people I've got these, I got this from, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. But anyhow, what's the best way to tell them how many are able to be saved?
Well, we don't know. We know it's the full complement of God's people. And we don't know what that number is, and we're not intended to know what that number is. Just as when God says that he shows loving kindness to 1,000 generations, the metaphor is simply communicating that God's love is everlasting. And in this case, the full complement of God's people is given to us in a figurative sense. That is the perfected bride. It is the wife of the Lamb. And that's what you read in Revelation chapter 21, where the angel, one of the angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and said, John, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then he carried John away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed him the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. The whole idea that is communicated there in Revelation chapter 21 has to do with the bride, the wife of the Lamb, God's perfective bride. And there are people from every tongue and language and people throughout time. And Jesus will come back for that bride. And so the number is not important in terms of knowing it. It is the idea of the perfected bride of Christ that Jesus Christ carries over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Christian. He's listening in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Bot Radio. Hi, Christian.
Lisa. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for talking to me.
You got it.
I got questions. One, I'm dealing with a nephew who just graduated out of a Christian Bible college who says we ought to deal with love and compassion and witness to them and go there, and that war is totally out of the question. And two, do I have to speak in tongues to get all that God has to offer me?
Well, no. I mean, not everyone speaks in tongues. Paul answers that question. In fact, I got a call on this in the first segment of the broadcast today. He answers that question, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by asking a rhetorical question. Not all speak in tongues. In fact, he goes on to say we ought to look for the better gift, and that better gift ultimately is love. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he asks a series of rhetorical questions, and then he points to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter of love. In terms of witnessing to ISIS, let me tell you that this is a very, very difficult situation, and this has come up throughout history. I'll give you an example of ISIS-like butchers. The Bishop of Smyrna was killed by a Muslim a terrorist and many Muslims that had come in and absolutely torched Smyrna. This is one of the great biblical cities, but the hordes came in and they decimated Smyrna. And during that process, there was a bishop. He was the bishop of Smyrna. He could have got out, but he didn't. He wanted to stay with his flock. His name was Metropolitan Chrysostomus. And what happened is that they tore his eyes out. They dragged him by his beard through the streets of the Turkish quarter. And every now and then, when he had the strength to do that, he would raise his hand and try to bless his persecutors. And he would say, "Father, forgive them." And when he was doing that, a Turk got so furious that he cut off his hand with a sword. And he fell to the ground and he was hacked to pieces by the angry mob. And all that carnage culminated in the burning of the great city of Smyrna. So we have these kinds of things happening to Christians right now. They're being beheaded, they're being killed, they're being executed in all kinds of horrific ways. And we as a country need to do what we can for those who are being persecuted. And it is not only in terms of food, but it's also in terms of safety. So I think that to the extent that we can help those Christians who are losing their homes, whole cities have had Christianity eradicated from them, and to do nothing would be tantamount to sitting by idly, very much like what could have happened if America had not intervened in the Second World War. But we did intervene. Because just as policemen in a civilization hold order within that civilization, there can be order that can be held amongst civilizations as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Luke, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Real quick, I just wanted to just say something just to bless the ministry, if I could, and then I'll get to my question.
Sure.
You may remember me. My wife and I were traveling down the East Coast last summer by train, and we came and dropped in on you guys at the Research Institute.
Mm.
And I just got to meet all you guys. You and I think it was Paul we spent time with, you and him.
That would probably be correct, yes.
But my point is, you know, we are supporters of the ministry, and we're from a long way from there, you know, 3,000 miles or something like that. But to come and see that, you know, what we're contributing, that it is clearly making a big difference, and just to be so warmly welcomed by you guys, it was really just really affirming, and to just be trying to support it, but to be able to see it and be like, this is how it operates, and, you know, this is good. We're seeing where it's going.
Thank you, Luke.
So that was what I just wanted to quickly say. And when I and also just for the listeners out there, your ministry had a massive impact on my walk of coming back to Jesus.
Mm.
And that's why we came, because I wanted to meet you to tell you that in the summer. But anyway, the question I have is, when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, right before that, the thief on whichever side said, you know, Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom. So Jesus said, this very day you'll be with me in paradise. Which, then I want to ask, in John, you've probably heard this lots, but in John, Jesus says at the end, in John 20, I think, he says, you know, don't touch me because I have not ascended to the Father yet. And so I don't understand that, like, if he was not with the Father in paradise, where did he go?
Well, he was with the Father, and I think, Luke, you're right to point to the fact that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And also to the Father, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea, but he was in the presence of God. Obviously, his body died. But just as what happens to us when our body dies, it does not mean that we cease to exist. Our body dies, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. If we're believers. So what's going on in John chapter 20 is something a little different. Jesus now has returned. He's resurrected from the dead. And so this is in the context of his post-resurrection appearances. And he has not yet ascended to the Father, which he is going to do after he's here for 40 days. And then he's going to ascend to the Father. So this is the period of time between his resurrection and his ascension. And by the way, Luke, thank you so much for those kind remarks. Deeply appreciated.
Thank you for your time, Hank. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'll continue listening and supporting.
Okay, man. Thank you, and blessings to you and your family. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Glenn. He's listening in Egg Harbor, New Jersey, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. We're going to have to do this one quickly. I'm just almost out of time.
All right, short question. In Colossians 2:16, is Paul talking about the fourth commandment?
Well, yes. You know, what's going on here is Paul is saying, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ. So the most dangerous snare would be to fail to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the shadow of the Sabbath, and that in Jesus Christ we have our Sabbath rest. But what's really cool about this passage is you have a descending order. The order is from an annual feast day to a monthly to a weekly, and that demonstrates that the Sabbath in view is a weekly Sabbath. And the reason that we worship on the first day of the week is not because the Sabbath has been abrogated, but it is the emphasis on the centrality of the resurrection and the fact, as I mentioned, that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as mentioned, available for your gift to the ministry all this month. And for those who join the monthly support team, personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. We do what we do at the Christian Research Institute because life and truth matter. And it really matters that you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, because without you, we couldn't do what we do. So God bless you. Thanks for prayer. Thanks for supporting this ministry. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip
and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.